Good morning. So today is the third sermon in the Encounter series. And previously we talked about encountering Jesus because you're thirsty. We encounter Jesus because of a blind man. So Pastor Sharon, she talked about thirsty. Pastor Joshua talked about the blind man and who could see once more. Today, what we'll be talking about is to be reborn. To be reborn of water and spirit. And before we dive right in, since this is my first encounter with all of you, allow me to introduce myself. My name is Canaan. I'm named after that piece of land in Middle East. So this is where Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, and Israel currently sits. So feel free to step all over me because I'm that land. I grew up in Singapore, so that kind of explains my accent is kind of different from the rest of them. I have this template family where my dad, my mom, and a younger sister. I was born into a Christian family, so I was born, and then my parents said, okay, since you're born in a Christian family, you're going to go get baptized. I was baptized as a baby, they sprinkled water on me, and I cried. At that time, I was like, okay, I cried, and I grew up, I went for confirmation at 16 years old. Because everyone did it, I went with my friends. I was taught the Bible, I was taught to do devotion. I knew the stories. I know Adam to Noah, from Abraham to Joseph, from Moses to Samuel, from Solomon to all the other kings beyond. I could even tell you about the minor prophets, but no. I was taught how to memorize the books in the Bible. So there are 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 in New Testaments, because 3 times 9, you get 27. So that's New Testament. And add up together, 66. I knew the rules, I knew the laws, I knew what to do, what not to do. I served in church as a small group leader to teenagers. I served as a Sunday school teacher. And I served as part of the tech team on Sunday for the service. And what you see up there, that's me and my youth playing soccer. And that's me when I was only 16 years old. I am a kid. On the surface, it looked like, oh, this guy is so active in church. He has everything going on for him. That is so good. And moving on to school. In school, I was voted consecutively 3 years in a row. I was the class chairman. I represented my class, going on to do different things, being their voice in school. I was chosen to pioneer a course-specific charter. This is something that has never been done before, and I was chosen to do it. People would add me on Facebook, and I didn't know who they are. They would come up to me, hey, hi, Canaan. I was like, you are, sup, dude? I know you, I don't know your name. I'm gonna call you dude. Hi, dude. Or, sup, bro? I still don't know your name. Hi. Well, I thought that this was the kind of life that would make me feel fulfilled. That was the dream life that any teenager would want. When you walk into school, you had wind blowing your ear. Right? But despite having all that, I felt that something was missing in my life. I know about the Bible. I know about the laws. I know the good things about Jesus. But there is just this thing that is missing. There's always a group of people that I always look up to. This attractive group of people. They're attractive because they have no money. They have no career. And some of them might even struggle with physical attributes. You must be thinking, you're crazy. You look up to people who have no money, no nothing, and they might even struggle to walk. Why? I look up to them is because they always look so contented. They look like they had something going on for them, and they look fulfilled. Like every day is a brand new day, and they're excited to face that day. And I wondered if I could have the same. Do you wonder? Do you feel the same way? It's as though something is missing in your life. Have you thought that something more that you want than the life you have right now? Sometimes when we go home, instead of seeing a home, we see a house. You have your well-manicured lawn. You have your Porsche. You have 3 stories. It all looks good. You see your parents. You see your spouse. You see them, but there's no joy. There's no connection. You go home, you sit on the couch, you turn on the TV. You turn the volume up, and you don't hear what your wife is saying. You turn the volume up so that you don't hear what your child is calling out to you. It feels pointless. And at work, you might be promoted. You might be like, oh, brand new title. Senior manager. Feels good, right? My pay increased from $2,000. Now I'm doing $4,000. Or maybe $10,000. Instead of feeling happy, instead of feeling glad, work feels meaningless. You have to force yourself to wake up every single day just to go to work. You force yourself to wake up every single morning to go to school. There is no joy there. I've been through that. Everything seems irrelevant. It seems pointless. You could be out with your friends. Everyone is laughing. But there are times when you're out with your friends and you see WhatsApp, Instagram, social media. We are out as a group, but yet we are all alone. I thought I had everything I need. And at 17 to 20, my mom gave me a title. The title was called Hotel Guest 101. That is because my home was my hotel room. Every day after school, I would go home, greet my parents, hi dad, hi mom, walk into my room, turn on my computer, and I start playing games. And when it's time for dinner, son, it's dinner! Okay, thanks for the dinner. I finish my food, I clean my dishes, I go back to my room. I repeat that day in, day out, day in, day out. It's just like a hotel. You check in, you go for your breakfast in the morning, you go out, do what you need to do, you come back, you eat your dinner, you go back to your room. So my title was Hotel Guest 101. And my sister was 102. With everything that I had, with that template family, with that model I had in school, in church, I was not fulfilled. Do you feel that everything you have would make you happy? Every single achievement that you have worked hard on would make you happy? If you're feeling this way, you are not alone. Nicodemus was in a similar situation as you were. Who is Nicodemus? Nicodemus is someone with status, with power. He's someone with no material needs. He had it all. He's a rabbi, a teacher. He's a PhD holder. How many PhD holders are there in this room? Not a lot. I know I wouldn't be one. A Pharisee meant that he was a leader in his church community. He's like an elder in church. And being part of Sanhedrin meant that he's part of something equivalent to a city council member. With all that, he was still missing something. He was missing that one thing that made him look for Jesus. But he was so lucky. He was lucky that he's born 2018 years ago, that he could meet with Jesus. I want to be in that time so that I could ask Jesus my questions. He went to Jesus at night. And right now, I want you to imagine that you have this chance to speak to someone who you thought had answers. Someone that you look up to. Well, I had the same chance. When I was told that I would be sharing a message today, I was like, yeah, easy. Club president, consecutive chairman, no kick. I had public speaking experience. I taught kids how to do public speaking. I knew how to do it. But I struggled. I struggled with coming up with an outline. I was stuck. I could do a lecture, but who wants to listen to lectures on Sundays? You have enough of it on Monday to Friday. On Sunday, if I were to lecture you, all of you will be falling asleep. So I had someone too. I looked for someone to help me. And Nicodemus, in that similar situation, with his past experiences, he was looking for something more. So he went to Jesus. He had the chance to ask Jesus. But what did Nicodemus do? In John chapter 3, verse 1 to 16, this is his story. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, truly, truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? how can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is the flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound. But you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you don't know these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." The thing is, Nicodemus went to Jesus at night as if he had something to hide. What was he hiding? And the first thing he said to Jesus was, "Jesus, I know you must be from God." He complimented him. He said, "If you are from God," but before Nicodemus could even ask a question, Jesus said, "You must be born again." If I were there, I'd be thinking, born again. I would be stunned. How can I be born again? I am 27 years old. I'm 5'6". I'm not a baby. How can I? I would even tell Jesus, "Come on, Jesus, don't joke with me. Stop pulling my leg. How can I be born again? That's not possible. It's physically not possible." And Jesus continued to say, "You must be born of the water and of the Spirit." Water and Spirit. So it means if I shower, I'm going to be clean, I'm going to be good, I'm going to be born again. I just need to take a shower. That is not true. So Nicodemus asked, "How can I enter my mother's womb again? What does it mean to be born again?" Well, it means that you have this fresh start, a clean slate. But why did Jesus not use the word cleanse? Why did he not use the word erase? Why did he use the word reborn? I question, why reborn? He used the word reborn because it is just that drastic. When you believe in Jesus, you are like a new person. You are reborn. Right now, I want you to think of yourself as a piece of paper. And on the piece of paper, you have started writing who you are. So on my piece of paper, I have Canaan. I have sporty. I have the word slack, but I canceled it out. That is because I didn't want to be slack, so I cancel it out. Sometimes you would write something, but it's not good enough, so you try and use white out. But you still can see. I kind of have the word confident at the bottom. And here, I have the word fun. I use pencil. Try and erase it if I made something wrong. Sometimes when you write on a piece of paper, it's all your achievements. It's all that you have worked hard for. But you have made mistakes. I had the word slack on my paper. But when you say, "Jesus, I believe in you," it is like replacing the old one with a new one. A clean slate. Something new for you to write on. You can rewrite who you want to be on this piece of paper. It's a chance to write on a clean piece of paper. And it's not just to be born again, but to be born of the water and Spirit. Let's take it back to Old Testament. It says in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25 to 27, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. and I will give you a new heart, a new spirit I will put within you, and I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. So apparently, when you're born of the water and spirit, it means you are cleansed. It means all your past burdens, all your past sadness, all of it will be washed away. It refers to us having a spirit to help us. So when we say yes to Jesus, does it mean that you have to do it all alone? Does it mean that you fight the battle by yourself? No, I tell you, no. We have the Holy Spirit to help us. It says you have the Holy Spirit put in you, within you, to cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. The Holy Spirit would help you to follow Jesus, to be like him in the way he treats people, and to be like him when he cares for people, to love those that is hard to love. Now, we have that chance to replace that old piece of paper with the new one. And Nicodemus was offered the same chance by Jesus, a chance at something new, at something more. But he hesitated. He didn't say yes right away. Why? Why did he not say yes right away? He had something new, a chance at something new. Why did he hesitate? And as mentioned, Nicodemus was a teacher, a Pharisee, and part of the Sanhedrin. He is not your average Joe. He is not someone that you see walking along on the streets. He had followers. His word had weight. He was respected. He worked hard at getting to where he was. He must have studied the law as a kid. He must have memorized it, internalized it, and lived it out. That is why he managed to climb the ladder and become part of the Sanhedrin. That is how he became a Pharisee. With all that he had, Jesus asked, Nicodemus, will you be born again and have a new life and to give up everything that you have worked hard for? If Jesus asked me the same exact question, I'll be, oh, heck no, I'm not going to give up what I have worked so hard for. Who wouldn't hesitate? If you ask me the same thing, I would, let me think about it and I'll get back to you in like, never. He wanted the same life, but he hesitated because he wondered if it was possible for him. He thought if he followed Jesus, it meant giving up every single thing that he worked hard for. But was it worth it? Would that new life that he would receive be worth it? Would it be worth it to give up that old piece of paper where he's enjoying life right now for that new one that had unknown written all over it? But before he left, Jesus said to Nicodemus, God loves you, Nicodemus. For God loves you to the point where he gave you his only son. And that whoever believed in him should not perish. You will not die. You will have life. You will have eternal life. And to me, this verse is a classic. Every time we talk about the gospel, this verse would come up. To me, it is something that we talk about the gospel, we will have to use it. It's a classic. He says that he loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his one and only son. Who is willing to give up their one and only son? God is. And what do we have to do on our part? All we have to do is to believe. It is for you to believe and to be reborn. To be reborn in water and the Spirit. And that was the thing that sparked Nicodemus on his journey of change.
that was the thing that made him go from, maybe I will change, maybe not. His hesitation into, yes, Jesus, I will believe in you and I will follow you. And that is how he went on in chapter 7 to say, hey, is this how we treat our criminals? Is this how we judge? He spoke up for Jesus in front of his peers. And in chapter 19, that is when he took the initiative to bury Jesus. He embarked on his journey. And he said, yes. Yes, I believe. We know of Jesus. We know of his deeds. But do we believe? Is it possible? Is it possible for us to give up what we know and what we have to follow Jesus? I was very much like Nicodemus. Having grown up in church, I thought I had every single thing I need. I thought I needed every single knowledge I could need. But I had too much knowledge. I knew too much. So much until I was unable to let go of my past. Because I grew up in church, I've been to conferences, I've been to different churches and seen different pastors preach. I had my piece of paper full of my knowledge, full of my self-confidence. It took me years, 27 years, to cultivate and to fill up that piece of paper. And it was hard for me to say, I let go of my past knowledge to accept a new piece and for me to rewrite and to relearn how to preach and how to share a message. And that is how it is with following Jesus. We have to give up what we knew and what we have accumulated to follow him. We worked hard. We followed the unspoken rules at work, at school. We work hard to achieve what we have today, our positions, our houses. We played the game of life according to society's rules. When we look at what we have today, and we ask ourselves, am I going to give up all this for this? Is it worth it? Do I want to start all over again? It is like you're playing a game and you reach level 99. At level 100, you max out. And now the option pops up. Do you want to restart so that you can reach level 100? That is the choice that is put before us right now. Do you want to be stuck at level 99 and never reach 100? Or are you going to click yes and you restart all over again so that you have that one chance to reach level 100? While we know what Jesus represents, he represents goodness, the love, peace, every positive thing in life. We still hesitate. We do not think that it's worth it, or it's not worth that hard work all over again. We want the goodness, we want the peace, we want the joy, but we do not want to say, okay, give me that new paper, give it to me, and I will write all this on the paper. It is a hard thing to do. But Jesus, he would answer us in the same way he answered Nicodemus. He would say, yes. Yes, it is possible. All we have to do is to say, yes. Yes, Jesus, give me the new paper. It is not the superficial, not the intellectual, okay, I believe. It is not the, okay, I will come to church every Sunday kind of belief. It is a kind of yes. It's a kind of belief that you put on your life every single day. But the question is, do you want to say yes? It seems like it is hard. It seems like you have a lot of things to give up. It seems like to give up everything is going to set you back. But really, is it a lot of things to give up? Instead of thinking of it as giving up, think of it as saying yes. Think of it as saying, yes, Jesus, I want to follow you. Think of it as, yes, I want to have the positive things in my life. Thinking of, yes, I want that peace. Yes, I want the joy. Yes, I want that goodness. And yes, I want to start anew and to have a new piece of paper. But remember, you will not be alone when you say yes. You will not be alone because you have that helper. Back in Ezekiel, it says, you will have the Spirit put within you to help you. The Holy Spirit will be there to walk beside you. You will not be alone. But what happens when you say yes? It is saying, yes, I do not need my past achievements. Yes, I do not need my past pride. Yes, I am cleansed of my past mistakes. And yes, I am willing to replace the old with the new. It is, yes, I am going to write goodness, joy, peace, and all of that on my new paper. When we say yes, it is not like you take a miracle pill, you go to sleep, and the next morning when you wake up, whoa, I am great. It's not a fantasy novel. It is not a pill that you take and you change the next morning. It is a process. It takes work. It is like you're working out. You want to get muscles, you have to start with small things. You start with light weights, then to heavier weights. It is like training for a marathon. You start with 1 click, 2 click, 15 click, 24, 42. It is a process of building yourself up. And we begin by saying yes to Jesus on small things. It could be like, yes, Jesus, I will not be a potty mouth when my mom nag at me. Yes, Jesus, I will help my bratty little sister. And yes, Jesus, I will help my friends with compassion, and I will help my friends who need help. It could be, yes, Jesus, I'll be on time for Sunday service. Yes, I will take that 19 minutes to do my devotion and to build my relationship with you. We start on small things before moving on to bigger ones like, yes, I want to serve you in church. Yes, I will not cut corners at work. And yes, I will not conform to the rules the society has placed on me. Think of it as when you're thirsty and you have found this drink, this sweet, sweet drink. And the moment you drink it, it quenched your thirst. And when you drink it, you want it more. And the more you drink it, the more you want it. It is a cycle. It goes on and on and on. You drink it because you want it, and you want it, so you drink it. It is the same way when you say yes to Jesus. You say yes, and you experience the life that you desire. You experience the things that you're looking for. In my own experience of saying yes, it goes back to when I was in the army. In Singapore, each Singaporean son, you have to serve 2 years. And every year after that, you go back for extra training. Before I was dismissed from the army, I was promoted to company sergeant major. And that meant I had a lot of responsibility. But when we have to go back for training, I thought that was my vacation period. I thought that was the government paying me money to be away from my current responsibilities and my current troubles. That's what most of us thought at the time. It meant that I don't have to face my spouse. I don't have to face my annoying kids. It meant that I don't have to work. So it's a vacation. It's the same for me. And I just wanted to do my time in there and to be done with it. I wanted to do the bare minimum. And that was what I did for my first year back in training. But that changed in the second year. I didn't feel good. And I felt that I should be doing something more. I felt that I should be giving God my best. Because, well, I don't want to disappoint Him. I didn't feel good. And I wanted to make myself feel good. So I listened to sermon to try and say, it's okay. But the first sermon talked about giving God your best and how your actions actually could be a tribute to God. I was like, okay, this might be a coincidence. It's just the first sermon. I will listen to one more. The second one said, you represent God. You are a priest. I was like, So if I'm a slacker, people are going to think Christians are slacker because everyone know I'm a Christian. I'm like, First one said, give Him my best. Second one said, you represent God. Like, okay, okay, God, I get your message. It's no longer a coincidence. I will listen to you. I will listen to your divine intervention. So I started with myself. I woke up early. I woke up on time. I made sure my equipment were all well-maintained and it was all well done together. People started calling me a suck-up. People called me names. I had no more peers and no more friends. We used to hang out, but now because of that, I was ostracized. They did not like me. But at that point in time, I felt, it doesn't matter. I'm still at peace. And I started to enforce that on my soldiers. I told them, I want to see you on time. If not, there will be measures taken to make sure you're on time. I enforced discipline. And because I enforced discipline, together with my old paper, the word friends, respect, peers, it was thrown away. I no longer had friends. I no longer had the respect my man used to have for me. But somehow, I was feeling at peace because I said, yes, Jesus, I will follow you. Yes, I will use my life to follow you. When we say yes, we are allowing ourselves to experience Jesus, to allow ourselves to feel happiness, feel joy, and feel peace. Our actions are no longer the same. And we change from the inside out. Our actions are different because we decide to change in our mindset. And we allow Jesus to give us that new piece of paper. It is as simple as saying yes. Yes to what? Yes to Jesus. Yes, I will believe in you. Yes, I will follow you. When you say yes, what would it look like? Maybe at home, it could look like, yes, Mom, I will do the dishes for you. Or yes, I will not talk back to you when you nag at me. Or yes, to your sister who keeps irritating you nonstop and you don't flare up at her. How would it look like at work or in school? It could be taking time out to help your friends. It could be listening to your teachers. Or it could be saying, I will take responsibility for my own education by working hard. How would it look like in church then? It would look like, okay, I will serve as the welcome, serve as a greeter. I could serve in X, in Kapors. You could serve in tech, serve in site. There are so many different things that we can say yes to. And at this moment, I would like you to take a time. And I'd like you to take some time to think. What can you say yes to in your life? Abraham said yes, and he followed Jesus. Joseph said yes, and he followed Jesus. And right now, what can you say yes to in your life? And perhaps someday, when you say yes, you might become the person that others go up to and ask, why do you look so happy? Why do you look so at peace? And all you would answer is, because I said yes. I said yes to Jesus. It will be your turn to ask them, would you say yes? And it starts with a simple yes. Let's bow our head in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to say yes to you. We want to follow you, and we want to receive that new piece of paper. We want to be able to be the one that people will come to and ask. So I pray to you and I ask of you to help us receive that new paper and to receive the Holy Spirit such that we are able to live a life worth living. Amen.
We have time. So I think the illustration really speaks to me this morning. As I think about my own life, you can't see my piece of paper because it's not, I don't dress it outside. I do have pieces of paper on the inside. And they're all like that. There are things that I wish I could just cross out in my life. And there are things that, you know, actually they are really like that. You know, there are a lot of things that happen voluntarily or involuntarily, accidentally, purposefully, intentionally, that I write things on my piece of paper and then I put right out on it one layer, two layers, three layers, four layers, and then, but the marks are still there. And then there are things in my life that I've purposely written in with pencil since that I, you know, as I it basically rebellion, you know. I wrote them in pencils just so that one day I can use the eraser to erase it, and then I can write with pencil again, and then I have my eraser to erase it again. So this is exactly, it reminds me who I am and what I'm like. But then grace is, love is, and the blood of Jesus Christ is to give me this, a new piece of paper that I can write on. I don't know about you, but this morning as I was listening to God's word, as I was listening to the gospel, once again I was reminded of what Christ has done for me on the cross, that he shed his blood for me. You can't see this because it's also inside. It's a new heart. New heart of with softness, you know. This is hard as stone, this piece of paper. But this is soft. It's teachable. It can be humble. It can change. It follows. It obeys. It gives up. It sacrifices because it is soft. And I know some of you, me included actually, there are times in my life when I'm skeptical. You know why I'm skeptical? Because there is this voice in me that kept saying to me, you tried. You know, how many times have you tried and you say to yourself, you know, no more pencil, no more write out, enough. This will be the last time. And I pray to God, you know, Holy Spirit, help me. Give me a new life. Give me a new day that I can follow you with all my heart. How many times have you done that in your past? And this voice keeps reminding me, it's useless. You can never do it. So what if you have a new piece of paper, you know? So what if you have received grace? It's going to be like that again the next day. So why don't you just give it up to be good? Why don't you give up to try? Because you know what? You don't deserve this. And then at that point, the good news comes again. The good news is, you don't need to deserve it. That's what grace is. Grace is to be given another chance when you don't deserve one. When you don't deserve a second time. When you don't deserve a third time, the grace of Jesus says there's going to be a fourth time. I'm going to hand you a fifth piece of paper, and a sixth, and a seventh, and an eighth, and a tenth. But you need to say yes. You need to believe that this can go and this will come. And 11th time, 12th time, 13th time, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, you can be cleansed. Not because you are good. Not because you are good, but because the blood of Jesus Christ is effective. You see the difference there? Not because you are good. You know, we all have the mindset that if I am better, then I can be a better Christian. But the good news is, the blood of Jesus Christ is effective. The cross is enough. So you need to turn. You need to turn away from yourself. You know, asking yourself, am I good enough? Am I ever going to be good enough? I'm not ever going to be good enough. You need to turn from this to this saying, He is good enough. His blood is good enough. His grace is good enough. And change is possible. Change is possible yesterday. Change is possible today. Change is possible tomorrow. So why don't I just believe and receive this new piece of paper this morning? That's the good news. Let's pray again. If you have been struggling just the way that has been described, to a point that you give up on yourself, it's no use, I cannot change, I'm the way I am, I'm useless, hopeless, just a piece of junk. So this morning, God is going to give you a new piece of paper to write on. Maybe a 20th time, 100th time, but you need to say, I believe, and I'm willing, and I want to. That's the crucial thing. I want to. Lord, I want this piece of paper. Will you say yes? Yes, from now on, I'm not going to look at myself and put faith upon myself and say that, you know, if I'm good enough, I can be a good Christian. But say yes to, yes, the cross is enough. Yes, the blood of Jesus Christ is effective. I can be cleansed. And in God's eyes, I will be, I am, just as I was, a child of God. Nobody can take that away from me. So thank you, Lord, for giving us the good news this morning through a simple question. How can it be? The question of Nicodemus. And then in return, we receive the word, for God so loved the world that He gives His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will never perish, but have eternal life. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Please rise to receive the benediction. Jesus said, the Lord said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. and I will be with you always to the end of the age. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. This is the third sermon of the series. Next week, we will be closing the series with the last sermon. Please come again, 11 o'clock next Sunday.